From Relay, this is Downstream, a podcast about the present and future of television. This is episode 101, recorded August the 22nd, 2025. I am your master of ceremonies, Jason Snell. Let me introduce my two wonderful guests, both returning. They were just here last time, but they're back. It is Will Carroll from Under the Knife. Hi, welcome back, Will.
Hey, glad to be back. Glad we're trying things. Glad we're having fun.
We're having fun.
It's just such a huge week.
Things. Also, this is absolutely huge. In fact, we delayed our recording because there were things that were happening that we wanted to talk about. Also here, our faithful editor of Downstream and the keeper of the Canadian sports flame, it is Stephen Schepansky. Hello, Stephen.
Hello. Sports is fun, and I was so excited to hear about this this big news that I just wanted to be and basically learn the news an hour before I would hear it when I was editing it.
This is great too. Yeah. Also, because it makes it easier for me in terms of taking notes for the podcast, because the editor is here.
I already know what's going on.
You already know what's going to happen in the podcast, you will when you edit it, which is the most important part.
Indeed.
Okay, we should start with the big thing, a thing that this podcast has been talking about basically since it began, and it is finally here and tangible. It is ESPN, not the cable company, not the app, because the app was already there, the ability to watch ESPN channels. This is going to take a little bit to explain, but I want to be precise here. The ability to watch the ESPN channels that were previously only available on cable and satellite. If you do not have a cable or satellite TV package, by just giving them money, and then those channels just show up in the ESPN app, and you can watch them. It is ESPN over the top, unbundled with cable TV for the first time, and simultaneously, Fox launched its Fox One, which does the same for a bunch of its stuff, including its broadcast and cable sports and other content. It happened. I don't know. Stephen can't try it because he's in Canada.
Nope.
Will, did you try it?
I did.
I did too.
I actually got it a day early, and I'm not sure why. I'm curious just because, full disclosure, I did work at ESPN, but that was decades ago. And so I don't think that's it, but it is the same email account. It's one of those where I'm honestly a little bit impressed and a little bit kind of on 80% of it. But I think that's because it all feels so familiar and unchanged. How about you, Jace?
Yeah. So I did, and we'll talk about this later in the show. I realized that they have not made a deal to. So what one thing that ESPN is doing here is they are, and this is a sweetener to all of those cable companies that they're leaving behind, is they make deals with a bunch of the cable and satellite TV providers that if you're a subscriber, so you get ESPN on that service, you can log in with your service credentials and get the ESPN channels in the app. So basically you get this service. One way to get it is not to pay for it, but to get it with your cable provider or whatever. YouTube TV, not currently covered by that. I have been
Xfinity,
using YouTube
not
TV.
Currently covered
oh,
by
no.
That.
But I did the switcheroo. I went back to Fubo. Because Fubo already has cut that deal, and I decided for this podcast I would change my TV provider, and there are other reasons too that I'll get into later. But that enabled me to, without paying twice for ESPN, to get access to ESPN the app and the content within the app. And Will, I agree with you. I mean, on one level, the normalcy of it is the thing that's striking. Is that it? They used to have various live feeds and stuff. I mean, if you've used the ESPN app before, it's not that different. They didn't build a new app for this. What they did is now you, for the first time, because I had ESPN Plus, there's that moment where you're like, why can't I watch ESPN right now? Why can't I watch the game that's on ESPN? And the answer was the cable companies don't want you to. And now you don't have to worry about that. You if you're authenticated, it's a bigger deal if you cancel cable.
Yeah.
And have missed ESPN content for as long as you canceled cable, because now you can get it.
Yeah, that's what it is. And you know, you ably explained what it is. I know you liked when they named this whole thing just ESPN, but it makes it really tough to explain.
It does. It's like Apple TV. There's a lot of them.
And pluses. Can't somebody come up with something better than plus? The thing for me is that yeah, talking to some people that are still there or have much closer connections than I do, this basically is a new app. It just looks like the old one and is built on the structure. I don't fully understand the app, you know, economy, the building and coding of it, but they put in whole new sections and some fairly deep AI things. I think the two most notable things you're going to see are what they call verts, which is stupid.
Yeah, I saw that.
It's basically a feed. It's a TikTok slash Instagram slash whatever feed of ESPN stuff. You go through and, you know, you see whatever highlights they want you to see. You see highlights from the teams you've picked, and it's much, much more deeply integrated. If you didn't go through and say, you know, my 10 favorite teams are X, Y, and Z, this is the thing that's going to push you towards it. Because without it, you're going to see a whole lot of Stephen A. Smith.
Nobody wants that.
The personalization part is the same, but different, but way, way more important. Because the second new thing is, yeah, you have to have AI in something or it doesn't exist in 2025. And they've done this SC for you. I don't love that they said SC, kind of devaluing the SportsCenter brand. Mm-hmm. I realize I probably haven't watched SportsCenter aside from the other night when Rich Eisen was on for the first time in 20 years. He did a great Stuart Scott tribute. It's this SC for you is using AI voices. The one I've gotten so far is Hannah Storm. And it sounds like Hannah Storm, but it doesn't sound like Hannah Storm. Mm. The inflections aren't quite there. If you've heard Hannah Storm for however many years, as we have here in Indiana, she's got a ton of Indiana connections. Her nephew, Drew Storen, former major league pitcher, now lives here, is from here and lives here. It just doesn't quite jump the uncanny valley. It's still a little bit fake, but it's doing a fine job of narrating. And I realize they can't have Hannah in a booth in Bristol, you know, reading highlights over and over and over until she dies. So this is perfectly acceptable. If you don't pay attention, if you're not as AI focused as I've been for the past year, maybe you don't notice at all.
It's interesting. I guess what I would say is it feels very normal, but they are definitely adding a whole bunch of things around the edges. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's the way right way to do it is use what you've got as a base. They already have, like on the Apple TV, you know, I think the app hasn't changed very much at all. The phone apps have changed a little bit more. But, you know, the key thing is you have access to all that content that didn't used to be there on us. You know, a Saturday where there's college football, all those games that were on ESPN and ESPN2 and ESPNU and the ACC network and like all of those will be and the SEC network, I think, is an ESPN as well. So all those will just be in there and you'll get them. But and then there'll also be there's some of it now. But like this is also a platform that's got all sorts of gambling stuff in it where they're going to have odds and things that are going to be in tabs. And you can, I noticed you can turn a bunch of that stuff off. There are a lot of settings. Yeah. If you're not a gambler, you can turn a bunch of that stuff off, but they, you know, they're doing a lot of technical work behind the scenes. It's really interesting because it's not just one thing. I mean, that's the complexity of it is it's a product that you're going out with for people who are not able to get ESPN because they're cord cutters. But it's also a product for people who aren't cord cutters, but it puts all of their content in the ESPN app in a safe way that might not have been allowed before. So it's an interesting, like, I mean, you had access, you know, there were some places where you had access to it and other places where you didn't, depending on your cable login. It was really frustrating. And now it seems like they've got kind of like a single strategy for everybody in terms of getting their content on the internet. And we'll see where they go from here. But I saw a very funny story that was, I think it was in Puck, and it was about cable companies grousing about ESPN launching this. Even though they've got all these deals with it and they're moving a lot of ESPN stuff to premium packages and all of these other things. And I just thought, like, this is the gentlest way for them to because they're not breaking away from cable. They're saying we can't just have our business on cable. We just can't. It's 2025. Mm-hmm. They should have probably been here 5 years ago, but they're certainly here now. So I find it funny that people are bellyaching in the cable. I mean, I guess it's not surprising that they're doing it, but like this seems to be the kindest, gentlest way for ESPN to say, look, we're still on cable. We'll give you access through your cable login, but we also need to focus on building a digital product that is, you know, made up of some of their existing digital products that they've had, like ESPN Plus and the ESPN app and ESPN.com, but like actually making it a single product that is ideally coherent, called ESPN, in a way that they couldn't do when part of like the heart of what they did was locked away on your cable box.
Yeah. You know, Jason, you're exactly right. I'm curious because you mentioned Fubo was one of the ones that are sort of included in, I think, Hulu Plus Live, which
sure.
basically
both owned by Disney or about to be owned by Disney. Yeah.
Yeah. Xfinity was not. YouTube TV was not. Were any of the deals with non-Disney assets?
Yeah, yeah, there are some cable companies that are in the deal. I think for some of them it's part of an ongoing negotiation, or was in their contract that they negotiated that when this thing came they would give it it would be part of the bundle of content that Charter or whoever is giving to their is selling to their customers. So I think that it's just a matter of the way I saw a report that said ESPN anticipates that they will negotiate with the others too, but that those negotiations are ongoing because it's part of the give and take of, what are you paying us and what tier is it on? And do your users get access to the content in our app, or is it only in your app, or, only on your cable box or whatever? And that's ongoing. But yeah, it's no surprise that the Disney assets are there on day one, but that's fine.
Yeah. Here's the other thing that I think is really, really good about this. And one thing that I think is good, but that doesn't speak to me. The first is that if you look at the app on iOS or iPad, up in the top left, there is what functionally is TV Guide for Sports. And I've been asking for something like this for a long, long time. One of the things we had heard, and I think it was John Arand at Puck that was talking about it, was that ESPN wanted to make this app someplace where everybody that was a sports fan went, even if it wasn't on ESPN. And I didn't understand where this was going until I got here. And it's this TV guide that tells you where the game is, whether or not it's on ESPN. I don't think it's like steering you, but I think if you read a thing and you were watching, I don't know, a Cal ACC game, it would tell you that might not be on ESPN. It might say Fox. And since there's a Fox bundle, theoretically, it could maybe carry you to that. Or if it signed in through your cable, it carries you to that. But it intrigued me that there were, soccer games that it said Paramount Plus. And I was like, okay. Yeah. Very intriguing. The second, and this is one that, me, older, white, Midwestern male, doesn't really use as much as I probably should. And that's right up front on everything. There's a way to cast it to your TV. I'm not a cord cutter. I'm probably going to be the last person that has a cable subscription.
Second last. I'm probably going to.
But even traveling, I watch a series of videos on YouTube, so shout out to Hannah Ricketts, who of all things walks around London and shows things, and she's been doing a series on London five-star hotels. And yes, I find this compelling content. I went to London this summer, so we're looking around at that. The thing she always talks about is the TVs in the rooms, can she just cast her stuff to it? I just don't do that because I have cable, I have Apple TV, I have everything at home. And when I travel, I honestly don't watch that much TV. And if I do, I'm probably just watching it on my iPad. So I think the fact that they put it front and center on every single page shows they're conscious that that's a whole lot more important to many people than it is to me.
Yeah, I'm actually looking at it right now, and I see that same thing, which is, you know, in theory, I'm not sure it's working for me right now, but in theory, if I've got my, you know, I have a Paramount Plus app here, and it's definitely showing me that English, you know, the championship, Derby's playing Bristol City right now. Everybody hold on to your hats. And it says I can watch that on Paramount Plus, but it's actually not letting me tap through. But that may be an implementation detail and a launch detail, because you're right, Will, this is the thing that Julia and I talked about a lot, which is the goal is, and I noticed this last night because the Giants game came on and it knows that I'm a Giants fan, and it had a live activity about that game, which, you know, the MLB app will do and Apple TV app will do, but ESPN wanted to do that. And I thought, and I didn't get a chance because I was traveling, but I thought, this is smart, especially if when I tap on it, it takes me to an ESPN page that's got details on it and a watch now on MLB.tv or something like that on it. Because then it's that, I think, is a very powerful part of this is just, look, we know when all the sports are. We know where all the sports are. You can use us as your, like, it's literally a calendar. It's like today, and you can scroll through time and see all the sports that are on today. That's pretty compelling, I think.
It is, and smart, and I think consumer friendly. The one knock I have on the thing so far, I mean, besides little quibbles, is that, you know, I personally have the Disney Hulu bundle. Yeah. I don't have ESPN, the channel or whatever it was before ESPN Plus. Because I had all those channels on my TV. Why would I watch it on my phone? But I looked today and I was like, can I add this to my current bundle? And I think this is more Disney, because it immediately takes you to the Disney Plus page. And I pay for the no ads, as I think everyone who has the means should, because the experience is so much better, especially YouTube. We've talked about this before. But I could not find a way to do it. It would let me switch to a bundle for, I think, like $40. But it would not let me switch to the ad-free bundle. Uh-oh. And I'm curious here, because so much of the things you're going to watch on ESPN are live. And I get that you're going to get commercials on live, because they're not going to create a special stream. Even on MLB TV, where they don't show the commercials, they have to block the time. And they do little interstitials and sometimes just block it off. I could not find it. I'm sure it's
there. It's there. I found it yesterday. I think you maybe just missed it.
Okay. Because entirely possible.
It is,
but
there.
They don't make it easy.
It's complicated. It's a huge page, and just when you think you got to the end of it, it keeps going. But you are able to. I noticed not only that, because they're also bundling Max, so they also have the version that's got Max in it. Mm-hmm. I was actually on the triple play, the classic Disney Hulu ESPN Plus triple play, and I was able to go down because I was adding ESPN. In this case, I was adding it by connecting Fubo, but that meant, and I've got an aside here, so I was able to do that, and I was able to change. I will say, as an aside, this is something almost unprecedented in my experience. I added my Fubo login so that I got full ESPN. And I got an email from Disney that said, you seem to have two of the same thing.
Wow.
Go adjust that. And I went and took ESPN Plus off of my bundle, because I don't need it there, because I'm getting it through Fubo as a part of the whole complete ESPN package that doesn't have a name that we can talk. So I have to keep saying things like that. You're right, Will. It's simple, but also it's very hard to talk about. And I was impressed by that. Good job, Disney, saying you seem to have, bought the same thing from two different sources and you don't need to do that. That's pretty sweet. I like that. I appreciate that from them.
Again, consumer.
But it is there. It can be done. But yeah, this is the complexity of it. I mean, this, and it really does harken back to the days of, you know, logging into your cable company and saying, you know, I want HBO and I want NFL Red Zone. And like, you need I think honestly, Disney's picker, although it does work, it shows the complexity of it from a design that was probably meant to be simpler. But and now they've got so many options, and I pity the web designer who's like, oh, I don't know if we can do this, but they found a way to make it work. I should say, by the way, Steven, I'm sorry that this is probably never, ever coming to Canada.
No, it never is. Never is. Although I think we can use, you can use your cable login or your Sportsnet Plus login to log into the Sportsnet app here in Canada. So there, it's some of what you're talking about is weirdly similar.
Okay.
But other stuff is not. Like the Stream Center, I was looking at, okay, how are they going to do this? How are they going to actually have the Stream Center, which is the second screen app on
right.
it, actually match up with it? And then the second paragraph in the press release, you can sync the Stream Center with the live feed, so you're not spoiled either way, yeah. which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah, we didn't mention the second screen interface as part of this. And I know yeah. we talk a lot about watching on device, but what YouTube has found, and it will absolutely be true with ESPN, is people watching this on TV, but also having a second device, a phone probably, maybe a tablet, but almost certainly a phone. And that it's a multi-screen experience. And so they've built it so that they can own both of your screens, which mm-hmm. is so smart and diabolical, but also like that. Yeah, that's how that should work. And if you've got your second screen up, it should be synced to what's on your screen, right? Like it would be the worst yeah. if you were seeing, you know, 30 seconds ahead that this amazing touchdown just happened and, you know, it still hasn't happened on your TV. That's no good. You can't have that.
No, it's like watching the NFL draft and they have the picks.
Yeah, the tweet, you know, they're tweeting out the picks announced. And the picks aren't in yet. Yeah, so that is it's I'm looking forward to spending time with it. One of my favorite times of year for this kind of like media consumption explosion is when the college football season starts, because there are so many games on so many outlets that it ends up, you know, I can do my Fubo quad box and I'm back on Fubo now, so I can bring that back, and I can also throw in, I should say, the multi-view in the ESPN app, at least on the Apple TV, it's pretty good. They, you know, you can do up to four video streams, and now you can, you know, easily mix and match your ESPN, and they currently they had a golf tournament with multiple streams, and also US Open qualifying tennis with a bunch of streams, plus whatever is on cable. And during college football season, there will be lots and lots of football games on simultaneously. So that's also kind of fun. So I think the key here is I don't want to say that they haven't spent a lot of time and effort on this to get it to this point, because they have. And I think it's very clear that everybody at Disney thinks that this is a mission critical thing for ESPN as a brand. It is the most important thing they're doing. But I think it's also safe to say that it's day two, not day one. Yesterday was yesterday. It's day two, and there's a lot they're going to learn, and there's a lot they're going to have to build still and figure out. But the reason that we talk about this, and we've been talking about this for years, is that in some ways I feel like this is dead center in the transition of television to the internet. Is a business built on cable fees, ESPN, built on cable fees, that was perfectly symbiotic. In terms that Disney got fat and happy on the money from cable companies, and the cable companies loved the fact that you had to watch those sports on their systems, because that's where the sports was. That's where ESPN was. And, you know, internet and streaming made it clear that it wasn't going to last. But the question was always like, what would happen? Where is it going to go? What form will it take? How will all the parties involved respond? And we don't have all the answers yet by any means, but like yesterday, honestly, talking about this for several years now, I felt like yesterday was, I looked around and I was like, do people not know today is ESPN day? Like it's a huge, it's a milestone day just because of what it means in the change from traditional television to streaming television. It was a huge day.
Did you happen to see that they were trying to turn it into like National App Day or something? And I hope they burn this mascot down, because for the first time ever, they have this really dopey mascot called App E, and
no.
you do it fast.
No.
Somebody was like Wally, and they're, let's do Appy.
Appy, sure.
It's terrible. It's all, it has to be a parody.
Appy the dancing appetizer or something.
And the thing here is that as I was using, I was like, this is so familiar. This is so familiar. And I think that's really good design. But I also think And I think I said this last week. I don't think this is a long-term thing. I don't think ESPN, the app, as it is now, is going to live outside the Disney bubble. I think this will get eventually pulled into the Disney app, and this whole super app era becomes, you know, even more so.
Maybe.
That we'll have...
Maybe, but
I'm not saying I'm right. That's just what I feel. And I think the familiarity is part of that. But I, like most things, I could very well be wrong. And I could very well be overthinking. Well,
what gives me pause is that there's some belief that it may be that in the long run, Disney either outright sells ESPN or continues to find other investors to invest in it, where it's enough different from core Disney. Because you could see it being a different kind of, it doesn't have to be tied in other than the connection to the ABC TV network. And even then, that's, I would say, not a core business for Disney either.
Nope.
You could see a scenario, maybe it's not a Versant kind of scenario here, where you're getting spun off, but you could see a scenario where ESPN is not core Disney, but is sold or is partly a joint venture with other groups, whether they are sports leagues or media companies or whatever. I mean, it already is 10% to the NFL and all that. But like the idea is right now it is controlled by Disney. It is Disney. But that would be the only thing that would give me pause about it, other than the branding and just, you know, having an ESPN app is fine. Having ESPN content in Disney Plus, yes, I think it's actually a must. But I do. That's the one thing that gives me pause, Will. It's not, I think you've got making good points and have some good ideas there. I just, that's what's hovering over it is ESPN's long-term destiny as a part of the Disney family, or is it something different that goes somewhere else? And that would be the only thing that would make that different.
I agree. You know, remember, Hearst does own, it was 20%. It was an 80-20 venture when ESPN launched when Disney bought it. But now that, the percentages are a little bit different because the NFL came in. Evidently, there's some private equity that came in at the same time, though the details are a little murky. And anytime somebody like KKR comes in, watch out.
Anything could happen.
I think you're right. You know, if there were a situation where they could spin it out, but every time I hear Bob Iger speak about ESPN, he talks about the cash that it brings in.
Yeah, I know.
And even though they have to spend a lot to get that, it does generate a lot of cash. And you know, here we are, 20 minutes in, we mentioned Fox One.
Yeah, I mentioned it at the top.
But it came in, and there is no question in my mind, the Fox assets on the TV side are maybe months away from being an ESPN property. Because let's face it, Fox One is news and football.
Yeah.
And those two don't necessarily go together.
No.
Fox One is there because of football. Flat out.
Yeah.
They already had News Nation.
No, it's really there for, and so Fox One did launch, and I'll talk about this later, but like, it's really there, because they didn't do, Venue, which was, fake thing that ended up not happening, that was going to be a joint venture of ESPN, Fox, and Turner Sports. But Fox One, so if you're a cord cutter and you want to watch your Fox college football and pro football on the weekends, you can now do that with Fox One. ESPN is bundling Fox One, which makes it basically Venue. And we'll see where that goes. Fox has priced it, I think it's $20 a month. They also don't want to anger their, the broadcast affiliates and the cable companies, but they also know what's up, and it does feel like it's a product designed to be wrapped into other things and to build a sports package for cord cutters so that they don't lose any of their sports when they cut the cord, or cord nevers who never had a cord but they want to watch their college football. And it sounds like it's very much the Fox app, the Fox Sports app. Maybe it's not anything special. They don't want it to be special. They just want it to have a content in it. And their ambitions are not the same as ESPN's, but they want to have a product out there. And if ESPN's going to do it, Fox might as well do it too. Cause remember, that was the one unlike all the broadcast networks that have streamers attached to them for where their sports can go, Fox didn't. And now it does, essentially.
Yeah.
Useful.
And this is outside the downstream universe, but there was a big deal this week between Nexstar. Nexstar bought Tegna, and that was a lot of Fox affiliates. So I'm not sure how many of those affiliates are actually going to exist anymore. Here in Indianapolis, we have two affiliates that are literally under the same roof. And with that deal, it'll now be three of the 4.5. There's one independent-ish. They're basically the same news operation that functions on two channels, which is Fox and NBC,
right?
Or Fox and CBS now. The CBS and NBC swapped, but now they'll own the NBC as well, assuming that goes through. I just see Fox getting out of this once Rupert dies, and then ESPN will swoop in to get the football.
Yeah, it could be. We'll pivot here briefly to another topic, which is NBC Sports Network was a cable channel that NBC killed, and they moved all the soccer to USA. And I wanted to mention it here because now, as a part of NBC Universal's deals with cable companies, it sounds like they are considering, I don't know if it's official yet, adding essentially a linear channel that will contain sports that's only on Peacock, so that their cable partners can offer, really for people who are not comfortable streaming, but would rather tune in a channel they can watch for that Peacock exclusive, whatever it is, which is kind of reformulating NBC Sports Network, but with very different economics behind it. And I mention this now because there is a question, Will, when you talk about affiliates, one possibility is like, do you need affiliates anymore for Fox? You could put it on, put it on cable and streaming and be done with it. That's not what they're doing now, but they could do that down the road.
Yeah. And with this Peacock channel, I don't get it. I just don't get it because I didn't see the prices, but they were close. Why would you, it was an add-on in virtually every cable deal.
I think in the long run, it's a negotiation point because the cable companies want to offer this is, I would view this as being the equivalent of, for cable companies that are bundling Peacock, a version of Peacock already. Think of it as the equivalent of the MLB package, which is not just available for streaming, but you can just get it on your cable channels. That's how my mom watches baseball. Mm-hmm. It's because my mom is not going to use a streaming box. She never is. And she wants to watch the sports she wants to watch. If there was a linear Prime Video channel that only showed Thursday night football, she would watch that. But she's not going to watch it otherwise. So I feel like you're basically putting Peacock content in a channel context so that it can be included in your cable partner's channels, and then you walk away, I think.
Yeah. I called a friend who's at Versant now, and was like, hey, what's the deal with this? And why don't you just keep it on USA? And he was like, because we own USA, not Peacock.
Mm.
I was like, oh, crap, I'd forgotten.
Right. They need that's the other part of it is they need a cable channel because they are spinning off all their cable channels except for Bravo.
Yeah. And that's where I think it's going to be. I going through, Bravo's the one remaining thing. I was like, well, why don't you do with Bravo what you do with USA? And he was, that's where it's going to be. You can only show Real Housewives so much, I think. But that's where it's going to be. But the thing that occurred to me, and I talked to him about it, he was like, this is why it's so difficult. I think this is a chance for the cable people to deal with what a real problem, a very first world problem, mind you. But, when I want to watch something, I find myself, even though my TV has smart apps, my cable box has smart apps, 90% of the time, I will just go for, the Peacocks and Paramounts and Netflixes of the world. I'll just go to my Apple TV box because it's fine. It works. It's easy for me.
Yeah.
And so if I were Brian Roberts or whoever the equivalent is at Spectrum or the others, I would figure out a way to make Peacock a channel. Because if I'm watching, an EPL game, on Peacock, I can't just switch and check a baseball game that's on ESPN. Again, I'm on cable. So, you know, you have to switch back and forth and figure out where you are. If it were just like a channel where I could switch back and forth, I realize, you know, Peacock has, you know, 10 games on a Saturday at plus golf, plus everything
else.
And Paramount,
so does MLB. It would be very easy to put those sports on as basically virtual channels, just like they do with the NHL package and the MLB package. I really wonder if that's just what this is going to be. Is
that's we,
are people like Will, are elderly and infirm?
Holy cow.
I mean, I'm just saying, I was liking my 86 year old mother, and you're like, I care about it too. But I say anybody who is, I take it back. I was just making a joke. Anybody who is comfortable with a single context, whatever that context is, you'd ideally, and they're paying for content, you'd like to get it in front of them. And like when I feel the same way about like when I have to switch from one app that I've got, like I've got my MLB app with two or three games up, and then the Giants game comes on and I can't add it because it's not available on MLB. I can't verify that I already bought the channel. It won't give it to me, and I have to lose that context and go to a different context. That's bad. If you watch on cable box and then one sport is over on your streaming box, that's bad, right? Like that's actually a bad user experience to have that. You should be able to get that. If your cable provider is the thing, especially getting you Peacock, it should probably just show you Peacock, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. I'll tell you, I mean, sure, it's us old people who still like cable, but you know who still likes cable as well? It's like sports bars and hotel bars and everywhere. And whenever you go in and you'll find out what they're going to put on their 8 TVs but what's on the cable package, because they don't, hotel bars don't subscribe to 18 streaming services. They subscribe to cable and they'll turn channels. If they don't have it on there, then they want to, like when the NHL was on MS and NBCSN way back when, many hotel bars in the States did not have this, because I would hear from hockey reporters going, the hotel I was staying at didn't have NBCSN, so I couldn't watch the game. Now, of course, it's on ESPN, but you know, so for a sports thing to be on Peacock, but only on Peacock, then it's, if you're traveling, you're not going to see it.
Yeah, it loses that visibility entirely.
Yep.
There's a sports bar here in Indianapolis where they actually have smaller TVs at each like place. And again, casting. You can just put on whichever one you want, but it's from your app. They've got bigger TVs all around. But
that's fun.
I thought that was a brilliant idea.
That's a fun idea. That's like, that's a little like the... Your airline seat back, not having a screen at all.
Exactly.
It's like, just use your own screen that you brought.
Yes.
Okay. This episode of Downstream brought to you by Factor. Summer means fun. I love fun, but also it means having a busy schedule. There's so much to do. Boy, I feel that. When it comes to eating before heading out again, you might only have a couple of minutes. Factor can help. You're going to get smarter with tasty chef prep meals that are dietitian approved, delivered right to your door. And now with more than 65 weekly meals, you can pick what's right for you and have even more ways to fit in a real meal no matter where the day might take you. Factor lets you enjoy more variety and more meals. You can choose from a wider selection of weekly meal options, including premium seafood choices like salmon and shrimp at no extra cost. My mother raves about the salmon. Supports your wellness goals too. You can get GLP-1 friendly meals, new Mediterranean diet options, a bunch more packed with protein, good for you fats. Lots of choices there. They're all tagged. You know which ones they are. You can pick them. It's really easy. And there are global flavors. They've got some new Asian-inspired flavors with bold choices from China, Thailand, and more. More choices for better nutrition. 97% of customers say Factor has helped them live a healthier life. Probably because the food is good and the alternatives were junk, right? Feel the difference no matter what your routine is. When Factor sends meals here, my wife steals them because she takes them. She commutes to work and she takes a Factor meal. And the thing that we both like about it and the reason she steals them is because they don't taste like, I mean, they're not frozen. They taste fresh. They don't taste like, even if they come out of a microwave, they don't taste like that microwave meat. They have a secret system to make the quality ingredients, and they come out of the box hot and tasting good, which is, it's a magic trick, folks. And of course, I mentioned my mom. We were worried about her getting nutrition. She doesn't really want to cook for herself. And Factor, there's not a lot of cooking involved. 2 minutes in the microwave. That might be all you need. Very impressive. Eat smart now. factormeals.com/downstream50off and use the code downstream50off to get 50% off on your first box plus free breakfast for a year. That's code downstream50off at factormeals.com to get 50% plus free breakfast for 1 year. Woo! Get delicious ready-to-eat meals delivered with Factor. That offer is only valid for new Factor customers with a code and qualifying auto-renewing subscription purchase. Thank you, Factor, for supporting Downstream and all of Relay. All right, before we go, I like to do the TV picks. It's a way to keep it fun and have fun saying, here are some TV shows that we're watching that we're enjoying. Will, do you have a TV pick for me?
I do, and this one is one I will perhaps be admitting to a crime in that I have been watching this through a friend's VPN, and it is a British show. Everybody knows I love the British shows. This is called Video Nasty.
Oh, is this Irish? I think it's Irish.
Is it? It was okay. On BBC's feed. So it's set in Ireland, and it's these three teenagers who are trying to find all these horror movies.
Right. They make it in Northern Ireland. So yes, it is. Okay. It is UK and Irish.
Both. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So absolutely. I've only watched the first three episodes, but this is one where it's like, oh my goodness, this is good. This is just one of those that, do you remember watching the first episode of Stranger Things where you're just like, oh, they nailed the 80s. I lived through that crap. And yes, they got the tone right. I haven't had a show get the tone right since episode one of Stranger Things, the way that Video Nasty did. Wow. I'm curious to see where it goes. This is one of those shows that encourages binging. If you can find it, don't commit crimes. But absolutely one of the unknown gems for me right now.
All right. Great. Steven, what about you?
Well, I've mostly, I have to admit, been watching old World Series games recently.
Sure.
I recently watched all the 1979 World Series, won by the Pittsburgh Pirates. Great series.
I watched that as a kid.
About Willie Stark.
Right, I never did, but I wanted to watch all seven games. Thankfully, someone on YouTube put them up there. And then just recently, well, I mean, the Blue Jays have been in first place in the AL East for a long time, so I thought, oh, let's get some World Series fever. Watch 1992. World Series, all six games of that. But back when CBS covered it, I think it was the second last World Series.
I watched that as a graduate student.
I watched
Canadian
that one
roommate.
Too. Who was probably a lot more excited about it than you were.
I do have a question, Stephen.
Yes.
On the 79 series.
Yep.
Did they play We Are Family as much as everybody thinks they did? Or is that kind of an ex post facto addition?
They did. They played it in the ballpark on many occasions, often like around this. It might have been around the seventh inning stretch, I think, because they would hear it. You would hear it being played in the background when they're coming back from a commercial break. Yeah, they played it every game in Pittsburgh. And then, there was signs everywhere. And in game seven, when they won the World Series, all the fans that flew down from Pittsburgh ran out in the field and had all these We Are Family, signs and everything else. So, yeah, it was a bigger thing than I was expecting it to be, I have to admit.
Wow. But, okay, leaving aside old World Series, which are available on YouTube, what else?
Everyone else has already talked about it, but it's the only new series I've been watching. But Slow Horses, I finally got around to watching Slow Horses.
So good.
Yeah, with my wife Erica, we watched the first couple episodes. We were going back and forth with Department Q at the time when it dropped on Netflix.
Also so good.
Yeah.
Also good. But I was getting the series are relatively close enough in theme that I was getting characters confused. So I thought we have to watch one and then the other. So we finished Department Q, and now we've been watching Slow Horses. I thought there were seven seasons for some reason on there. Seven seasons.
Seven
and they confirmed.
They're shooting seven.
They're shooting. And season five is coming up on in late September. So we're two episodes into season four. Yeah, loving that show. There's
great
a sort of British sensibility
great books.
To it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I haven't read the books. Probably won't. Let's face it. But
the books. There's a new one coming out, and the thing that's intriguing to me, there are eight books now, the ninth is coming out, Clown Town. And the interesting thing to me is Apple announced another series starring Jack Lauder, who is the I guess the lead, most people would say Gary Oldman. Mm-hmm. But I actually, in London, got to see Lauder and Martin Freeman do a play. And I was like 2 feet from them. It was a play on the round. Lauder is an absolute breakout star. I think he everybody in that Slow Horses cast is great, but the fact that they're giving him an entire new series of 30s set Berlin mysteries, I hope that doesn't mean the end of Slow Horses.
I don't know. Maybe it means the end of River.
That could be a two. I mean, seven seasons. And how even that's
pretty good. Well, they shoot two at a time, so it's kind of half of
that's even better.
But those are great. And yeah, you're great. I agree completely with both Old World series and Slow Horses. Great. I'm gonna repeat something that Joe recommended, which got me to watch it, which is Stick on Apple TV. I don't like golf, but you know, I like sports movies. And I like TV shows that take all the tropes of sports movies and do some interesting things with them, but also know what the rules of sports movies are. And Stick is that. It is about a washed up old golfer, and that's Owen Wilson, who finds a kid prodigy who has stopped playing golf or has stopped at least liking golf because he has a jerk of a father who was a really bad, you know, parent coach and completely burned him out of golf, even though he's good at it. And Owen Wilson tries to rekindle the kid's love of golf while also reconnecting with his wife, who he separated from for a really tragic reason. Also, we get to meet the kid's mom, who is divorced from the awful dad and trying to figure out where her life goes. And in a surprise for me, there's the staff member at the bar who ends up being the romantic interest for the golfer through a series of like surprising events. That's pretty great. And then Owen Wilson's pal who drives the Winnebago, cause they travel around in the Winnebago, is Marc Maron. And I didn't know Marc Maron could do that. He's great. He's actually real. He only plays the one character in all the things he's in, kind of a grumpy guy with a heart of gold, and he does it.
Did you not see Glow?
I haven't seen Glow. No,
he's the exact same thing, but still good.
Yeah, he's really good at it. So I liked it a lot. There are a lot of golf cameos that I only vaguely recognize. I'm like, I know who Colin Morikawa is. They use Jim Nance for a couple of episodes because I was thinking, well, when they get to the Invitational in Tulsa, surely Jim Nance will. Yes, Jim Nance is going to call those clips because you have to. And the funniest line in the whole thing, sorry, Will, is there's a moment where it's like, are we going to give this up? Are we going to just go home? And the kid stands up and looks right at Owen Wilson and says, I am not going back to Indiana.
Exactly. I was about to point out
wise words
in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Don't go back to Indiana. Kid.
There is a completely inside joke there in the fact that everybody thinks it's Fort Wayne. It's actually set in Roanoke, Indiana.
No, all right. He doesn't want to go back there. I'll throw in a for the people who listen to this because I write about computers. I'll say that for most of the show, Owen Wilson is wearing a SetApp hat, which is a Mac and iOS app subscription service. It's never mentioned. I don't know whether
I couldn't figure out why
it's set. It's a joke or Owen Wilson owns stock in it, or I don't know why it's a setup hat, but it is. So good for them, I guess. That was great. Before we go, I have one letter from a listener. People can go to downstreamfeedback.com. We love to hear from you. This is from listener Martha. Love the streaming service draft episode, especially the love for Acorn, BritBox, PBS Passport, and the library services. As a subscriber to all of those and the usual suspects plus Dish, my husband and I pay way too much. Jason, you and Tim Goodman predicted long ago they'll get their money one way or the other. Oh boy, Martha, will they ever? You now need a draft on which service is the worst interface. Well, put that on the list. That's a great idea. There's so many to choose from, she says. Keep up the good
Netflix
work.
Thank is
you.
New one.
Thank you, Martha. Great idea. Great idea. Yeah. Whoo! That brings us to the end of this blockbuster. Look, we're in the ESPN era now. It's different. If you are not a Downstream subscriber, you missed us talk about a whole bunch of extra stuff, including MLB's new TV deals, how I'm going to spend my money, and if I can possibly save money by getting rid of YouTube TV or Fubo and just using ESPN, Fox One, and some other services for my sports. We talked about Apple and Formula One. So you missed that, but you can get it by becoming a subscriber. Go to downstream.plus to do that, because every other episode, more or less, most of the show will be available just to supporters. You get full versions of every episode if you support us, as well as access to the Relay Discord, bonus shows from Relay, and a whole lot more. And that's it. You can find me at sixcolors.com. I appear many other places on Relay and theincomparable.com. Will, where can people find you?
You can find me at undertheknife.substack.com, where I break down a whole bunch of baseball injuries.
Yeah, I got to read about Landon Roop's knee today. So
it could have been worse.
Could have been worse. That was what I took away from it. It looked like it was going to be terrible. It was not quite as terrible. And Stephen Schepansky, where can people find you?
I'm on Blue Sky, occasionally Bloot, as I like to call it, at Legopolis and other places under the same name, but also at RadioFreeChicago.com, my Doctor Who podcast.
Yeah, that's right. It's Doctor Who and streaming is a whole other topic for a whole other day. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yep. Boy. Speaking of Disney not spending money. Anyway, that's it for now. Thanks to everybody out there for listening. We will see you next time.